Practice Test 3. Paper 3, Listening. This is the Certificate of Proficiency in English Listening Test. Test 3. I'm going to give you the instructions for this test. I'll introduce each part of the test and give you time to look at the questions. At the start of each piece, you'll hear this sound. You'll hear each piece twice. Remember, while you're listening, write your answers on the question paper. You'll have 5 minutes at the end of the test to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet. There will now be a pause. Please ask any questions now, because you must not speak during the test. Part 1. Now open your question paper and look at part 1. You will hear 3 different extracts. For questions 1 to 6, choose the answer, A, B, or C, which fits best according to what you hear. There are 2 questions for each extract. Extract 1.
Now, George, calm down. I know you always had high hopes for Rob, but that doesn't mean he has to follow in your footsteps. Haven't you always emphasised, and quite rightly, that he needs to be independent? What's wrong with being a professional musician anyway?
Is that what you'd call someone playing in a rock band? He looks down his nose at me and my colleagues, but imagine where we'd all be now if I hadn't knuckled down and worked hard. Where does he think the money for the music lessons came from in the first place?
Oh, George, don't be so pompous.
Pomposity has absolutely nothing to do with it. These days, you need credible qualifications to succeed in life.
Well, George, there are a great number of very well-known people who have none.
What does a 17-year-old know about life? I'm sorry, but...
Would you please stop this and get back to the subject? Rob has made up his mind, and I think the least we can do is to back him in his choice. After all, he is a mature, well-balanced individual who doesn't act on impulse. I'm sure it was a well-thought-out decision. Now, George, calm down. I know you always had high hopes for Rob, but that doesn't mean he has to follow in your footsteps. Haven't you always emphasised, and quite rightly, that he needs to be independent? What's wrong with being a professional musician anyway?
Is that what you'd call someone playing in a rock band? He looks down his nose at me and my colleagues, but imagine where we'd all be now if I hadn't knuckled down and worked hard. Where does he think the money for the music lessons came from in the first place?
Oh, George, don't be so pompous.
Pomposity has absolutely nothing to do with it. These days, you need credible qualifications to succeed in life.
Well, George, there are a great number of very well-known people who have none.
What does a 17-year-old know about life? I'm sorry, but...
Would you please stop this and get back to the subject? Rob has made up his mind, and I think the least we can do is to back him in his choice. After all, he is a mature, well-balanced individual who doesn't act on impulse. I'm sure it was a well-thought-out decision.
Extract 2.
Total colour blindness, in which all hues are perceived as variations of grey, is known as achromatopsia or monochromatism. This is a far more serious defect than partial colour blindness, and fortunately, extremely rare. Unlike simple colour blindness, monochromatism affects men and women equally. Partial colour blindness, called dichromatism, consists generally of the inability to differentiate between the reds and greens of the colour spectrum, or to actually be unable to perceive reds or greens. Dichromatism is the most common form of colour blindness, affecting about 7% of men and less than 1% of women, and is normally a hereditary characteristic. It is interesting that the vision of most colorblind people is normal in all other respects. They can generally learn by experience to associate colors with varying sensations of brightness. Consequently, many people live their lives without even being aware that they are colorblind. Some only discover that they have the condition when they take obligatory tests like obtaining driving licenses, or when applying for certain jobs in which color distinction is necessary. Total color blindness, in which all hues are perceived as variations of gray, is known as achromatopsia or monochromatism. This is a far more serious defect than partial color blindness, and fortunately, extremely rare. Unlike simple color blindness, monochromatism affects men and women equally. Partial color blindness, called dichromatism, consists generally of the inability to differentiate between the reds and greens of the color spectrum, or to actually be unable to perceive reds or greens. Dichromatism is the most common form of color blindness, affecting about 7% of men and less than 1% of women, and is normally a hereditary characteristic. It is interesting that the vision of most colorblind people is normal in all other respects. They can generally learn by experience to associate colors with varying sensations of brightness. Consequently, many people live their lives without even being aware that they are colorblind. Some only discover that they have the condition when they take obligatory tests like obtaining driving licenses, or when applying for certain jobs in which color distinction is necessary.
Extract 3.
If I could continue, please. As the 19th century progressed, more and more farmers who relied on the adverse terms of credit, advanced by moneylenders, were reduced to bankruptcy, and many were ultimately forced to sell their land. The power of large landowners and merchants then drove or kept many individuals from ownership of land. By the 1840s, thousands of landless people were forced into dependent employment, as farm labourers or workers on the construction of roads, canals and railways. The fact that many individuals were unsuccessful in the pursuit of employment is shown by the high rate of migration within the country and by emigration to other countries. In their new countries, despite the fact that the lives of so many people at this time had been affected by capitalist institutions, priorities of work and life were not ordered strictly in terms of economic criteria. Cultural factors were important. Upper Canadians, for example, who mainly came from the British Isles, had been exposed in their native lands to the Protestant ethic and its positive enjoyment of hard work and frugality. Thus, considerations of what was useful, rather than what could be exchanged on the market, were also important in the production of goods. If I could continue, please. As the 19th century progressed, more and more farmers who relied on the adverse terms of credit, advanced by moneylenders, were reduced to bankruptcy, and many were ultimately forced to sell their land. The power of large landowners and merchants then drove or kept many individuals from ownership of land. By the 1840s, thousands of landless people were forced into dependent employment, as farm labourers or workers on the construction of roads, canals and railways. The fact that many individuals were unsuccessful in the pursuit of employment is shown by the high rate of migration within the country and by emigration to other countries. In their new countries, despite the fact that the lives of so many people at this time had been affected by capitalist institutions, priorities of work and life were not ordered strictly in terms of economic criteria. Cultural factors were important. Upper Canadians, for example, who mainly came from the British Isles, had been exposed in their native lands to the Protestant ethic and its positive enjoyment of hard work and frugality. Thus, considerations of what was useful, rather than what could be exchanged on the market, were also important in the production of goods.
That's the end of part one. Now turn to part two.